This is Matt and Myron, the podcast.
It is Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf, presented by Progressive Insurance. It is a beautiful day here in Kentucky. Myron is in Minnesota, and we're ready to get you set for a massive day of sports. Another big one. You know, Myron, everybody, I feel like I bring this up every year, but you do May and early June.
Yeah.
It's actually the weekends are as filled with sports as any time of the year. Let's just take yesterday. Yesterday, you had the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. You had a Game 7 in the NHL playoffs. You had Game 1 in the NBA playoffs. You had a Canelo fight last night. I hear there was a UFC card. Not really my thing. Full day of baseball. All of this stuff going on. It'll be like this through early June. Usually the weekend of the Derby and the Belmont, there's usually some kind of big fight. It's odd in May. People don't really process it, but these are massive sports weekends usually.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those weekends where you can sit on the couch and watch a ton of action. Game 7, Boston and Toronto and hockey was incredible. So there's been a lot of great action, man, across this weekend. I love this time of year.
And they're also setting it up. If you didn't hear the announcement yesterday, they announced they're moving WrestleMania, Myron, to the third weekend in April. So here's what that means. You will be able to, in April and May, do this. Weekend 1, Derby. Weekend 2, Masters. Weekend 3, WrestleMania. Weekend 4, NFL Draft. And first Saturday in May, Kentucky Derby. So it's setting up where your entire calendar, every year, every week, can be filled with big-time sporting events.
It's cool. I mean, I got a little beef with the WrestleMania thing. I don't know if you knew, but Minneapolis was the other finalist, and they went to Vegas. So there's a big thing here that they picked Vegas over Minneapolis.
Why do you think Minneapolis was the other finalist?
No, it was.
You think you all were the finalists for the Olympics, too? It was or Minneapolis? No.
It's legit. I'm serious. It's legit. It was Minneapolis. There was some internal. People didn't like the weather and some other things, so they picked Vegas. But Minneapolis
people didn't
was
like the weather.
Well, they didn't want to come to. They thought it might be cold here or something. But
don't you have a dome? Don't you have a dome?
Yeah, I just listen. I mean, is Vegas cool? Yeah, doesn't have that much more to offer than Minneapolis. I wouldn't say so.
You're being like the college sports fan base who says when they didn't get a player, well, we didn't want them anyway. Are you trying to tell me that they didn't pick Minneapolis for the weather, even though the thing is indoors?
Listen, I, if you don't want us, we don't want you. But we were a finalist. Minneapolis was a finalist, and they picked Vegas, which,
that.
I mean,
I don't believe you were a finalist.
Let me ask you real quick. What does Vegas really have over Minneapolis? Like, what
everything? Why would you go to
Minneapolis? They'll say everything.
Everything. What?
They got a Mall of America?
A different way. I don't think the Mall of America. I have a computer where I can get anything in the world. Why do I want to walk into a dingy mall in Minneapolis?
I don't know. Maybe you want to live and enjoy life. That might be one reason.
I would venture to say they have the same stores, but probably nicer in Vegas.
There's a chapel in that thing. There is a school, a church, a school, a walking track, an amusement park. You've never seen anything like the Mall of America. So you just told me Vegas has more? You didn't help your argument there, man.
Well, I will say, if WrestleMania was choosing between Vegas and Minneapolis, I can understand why they chose Vegas for next year's big event. Now, the big event here in Kentucky, the state is just now coming down after a week-long high from the Kentucky Derby. Mystic Dan won in the first photo finish with three horses since 1952. A three-horse photo finish. It was an amazing finish. Myron even texted me after. I feel like since you started working with me and knowing somebody from Kentucky, you've been more into the ponies and the Derby. What did you think of yesterday?
Well, no, I knew about Bob Baffert before I ever met you.
Bob Baffert wasn't in the threat race. Yeah, he wasn't in this.
Well, free Bob Baffert, but that's another conversation. I think it was an amazing build-up. It feels like the build-up gets longer every single year to the race, because those walk down, those interviews on the track leading up to it took an hour, it felt like. They interviewed every single person on that track. But there's no event like the Derby, just the build up and then the moment they let them free out of the, what do they call those things? The the
what are you talking about?
The gallop. What do they call those things when they let them loose?
The gate.
What is that? Is that the gate?
When they put them in the gate, first of all, you say they let them free, like they're all being held captive. That's just where the race starts.
but they open the dog. What's the thing they open?
The gate.
What's that hatch? The hatch?
It's the gate. They open the gate.
So when they open the gate, and then, you know, that's one of the most incredible moments. And then you get to a finish that I don't think I've ever seen. And, you know, you get an incredible, thrilling race. I thought Forever Young got robbed, but no, it was a great moment.
Why do you think he got robbed? You're talking about the
I sent you a video.
It was a Japanese horse, yeah.
I sent you – well, first off, I picked Forever Young, but I sent you a video that people aren't talking about. And in that video, Sierra Leone's jockey is pushing Forever Young. Like, if you go look at this video, you can see he's kind of like pushing the horse – as they're coming down that final stretch. I don't know what's legal or not in horse racing, but it didn't feel like that was
legal. You've seen Days of Thunder, right? Rubbin's racing.
Yes.
That's Rubbin's racing, even with horses. You're allowed to
you're
allowed to give the horse next to you a little love tap and draft off of it. It's all right.
Yeah, but how much bumping and like grunt, not bumping and grunt. How much I didn't mean to say that. That's not what I'm
That's in the stable. Go back. That's when they do the bumping and grunt.
That's not what I meant. How much roughhousing can you do in the middle of it? Like, how much pushing and shoving can you do?
You can do a little. You're not allowed to, like, you can't like punch the other jockey, but you're allowed to do a little kind of nudging and you know, like they say.
This is more than nudging. It was more than nudging.
Well, let me ask you, I say this every year. The Derby gets insane ratings. Like, the Derby will be the highest rated sporting event outside of pro football and the Olympics that will occur all year. It'll be higher than the Final Four. It'll be higher than the Masters, NBA Finals, World Series. I don't think it gets that amount of coverage in terms of on sporting shows. But it is there's a pomp and a circumstance, and there's celebrities, and Jason Wirth is there. He seemed to be the celebrity of choice this year. What do you enjoy all that?
Yeah, it was fun to watch. I mean, the pageantry of it. You know what I mean? I want to know, is there someone who makes hats just for the Derby, and that's their business?
Oh yeah, there are multiple people here in Louisville who their entire business is making Derby hats. So you have to, like, place your order. Like, people will place their order now for their hat next year. And they have businesses, and that's the whole day. Their whole year is making hats for once a year at the Derby.
What's the range? Because, you know, there are people I know who went to the Derby, and then you have, like, these people in the boxes who are billionaires with hats. What's the range of a hat?
There are women that will have hats that could be $5,000 to $10,000.
Whew. That's amazing. Just for the Derby.
Yeah, and the day before, the Oaks. So, like, some people have a different hat for both days.
Yeah. So here's what the Derby is, too, for me. Like, you can be going throughout life, doing okay for yourself. And you're like, you know what, I got a little bit of money, you know, or feel like you know somebody with a little bit of money. You look at the Derby, and that's a different kind of money.
Yeah, so
you
know,
that's a different thing.
I live, like, a mile in Louisville from the private airport in town.
Yeah.
And starting like Thursday morning, private jets, it's just a line, Myron, of people landing in Louisville. I don't even know where they keep all the jets because the airport's not that big. But it is just plane after plane after plane. The Derby's the weirdest thing because the richest people in the world come to Louisville, Kentucky, wear stupid hats and clothes they would never wear everybody else. And I'll tell you a hat story real quick. A few years ago, Beyonce came, and a woman that works, that makes these, got a call 3 days before that says, Beyonce needs a hat. And they were like, we don't have that. I mean, we're booked. And they're like, I don't think you understand. Beyonce.
Like what?
They said it like, do I speak English? Beyonce needs a hat. Yeah. And so the woman had to stay up all night, made Beyonce a hat. I don't know what it ended up going for, but I think they charged her more than they'd ever charged anybody. But it was – so I use that phrase sometimes, Myron, when there's something that I need done. I just go, Myron, Beyonce needs a hat.
That's when you stay up all night. Yeah, like that's Beyonce.
Yeah, this is
and
not,
you can charge whatever.
Exactly. This is not a discussion. Okay, this is not a are you available? They thought Beyonce needs a hat, so just do it.
She didn't know who Beyonce was. That's what it was. She didn't know. He ain't never heard of Beyonce.
Yeah,
that's
if they had said Jason Aldean needs a hat,
that would have been three hats
might've
ready
been,
by more.
Been a little different. Well, Mystic Dan wins 18-1 odds, and I hope you had it. I did not, and neither did Myron. Now the NBA game one of Timberwolves and Nuggets occurred yesterday. You have a game seven today, and I bet there's a lot of you riding around in this country who don't even know that there's a game seven today. We're going to tell you about the series that no one has watched. That's next here on Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
Forever Young was Myron's horse. Came in third.
Man.
Couldn't handle the bumping down the stretch. Yeah. And lost to Mystic Dan. Sierra Leone was second. For you degenerate gamblers out there, there are people also that bet on which horse will come in last. And it was a battle. There was also a photo finish, Myron, for last yesterday. For the people who do that, I'm not sure who won. I didn't get to see. But I did hear they were in a photo there, too. So there's always something you can gamble on. Man. Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Some people out there will put a bet on today's Game 7. But some of you may not know that it's happening. Cleveland and Orlando are in a Game 7. Cleveland's a 3.5-point favorite. The game is in Cleveland. And, Myron, I'm going to make a confession. I know I do sports for a living, allegedly. I haven't watched 1 second of this series. As far as I know, it's only been played on NBA TV, which I don't even know if I have that channel. if I watch Game 7 today, which comes on at 1, it'll take over these airwaves at 12:30. If I watch Game 7, it'll be the first time I've acknowledged this series exists.
I think they put one of those games on A&E or something. It's like after the first 48 or something like that.
On
but
A&E.
Yeah, I mean it's two teams that I think people sort of ignored during the regular season. Cleveland had a run, you know, and I think people just didn't follow what Cleveland had achieved. Not a lot of marquee names on that roster, but I think Orlando is intriguing, man, because Orlando's fighting to be one of those teams that could be next. Paolo Banchero looks like a young superstar, man, and the way that he's been playing, and I think that's going to be a name that people hear more and more if they win this series. But when you've got, you know, the Nuggets and the Clippers and the Mavericks and Minnesota looking like a team that can win it all and Boston, it's just hard to sort of rise above those storylines.
And it's also the case that whoever wins this series, you just kind of feel like Boston's going to beat them in 4 or 5 games,
yes.
Right? There's a sense that whoever wins is not really a contender for anything. It's interesting that you mentioned Paolo Banchero. He is kind of in the position like Shea Alexander was a couple years ago, where NBA people know the dude's about to be a superstar, but because their games aren't on TV, nobody else in the general public realizes it. But this dude is about to break out. And if they win today, he will get that stage because then he will get to play against Boston. And even if they lose, people will get a sense of how good he is. You know, he was in the class with Jabari Smith and was it Chet? Who was the other one in the class?
Yeah, Chet was in that group.
Yeah, so, you know, and at the time, he went number one, but most people thought it should be Chet or Jabari Smith. Like, I mean, most people didn't really think he should be the number one pick, but I think he has a really good chance of being the best player out of that draft, and it's just people are going to discover, hopefully today at 1 o'clock on ESPN Radio and ABC.
Yeah, I mean, he is sort of the perfect positionless player in the NBA, man. I mean, what is he, 6'8", you know, something like that, 6'9", and just can handle the ball, shoot, do it all. I mean, he is what the next generation of athletes are going to look like in the NBA. And, you know, to your point, to win a game on national TV, if he pulls that off, all of a sudden people are going to know him. But I think that's what this playoffs has been, man. It's like, who's the next face of the league? Anthony Edwards. I don't think a lot of people saw Minnesota before the playoffs. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you mentioned. How many people knew that OKC was the top seed in the Western Conference? We've seen a lot of Luka, but not more than we've seen the Lakers on TV. Yeah. So I think this is maybe a changing of the guard.
Well, this is definitely a changing of the guard. I mean, like, just think about it this for a minute. If you were to ask the average NBA fan, or even, maybe not the NBA fan, but the average sports fan going into the season, okay, tell me who the best players in basketball are. Inevitably, they would probably have said some form of LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Maybe they would have thrown Jokic in, but they would have kind of named these guys that in some ways are the generation before. And in these playoffs, we have watched, maybe even Giannis, right, because he had won a title.
Yeah.
Now, I think if you look at who's left, Jokic is clearly the best player. But now, with Anthony Edwards, Shai Alexander, Banchero, Luka, it is Tatum, Jalen Brunson. Like, this is a changing of the guard. I mean, this is a torch-passing moment. It doesn't mean Steph, LeBron, Durant aren't good, but what you're watching now, along with, you know, Giannis was hurt, so throw him in that group. But what you're watching is this is the new NBA and will be the NBA for the next 4 or 5 years. And I think the league, I don't know if the league and its fans are totally ready to understand that we are entering a new generation and this is the year it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are sort of watching this change in real time because if you just followed the NBA through nationally televised games, you didn't see a lot of these teams. You didn't see a lot of Oklahoma City. You didn't see a lot of Minnesota or Orlando. What's interesting to me, Matt, is the NBA knowing that its next generation of superstars are in some of these smaller markets. I wonder how long that's going to be the case because if you're Adam Silver,
do you think
you want
matters,
Anthony Edwards.
By the way, I mean, in the NFL, it doesn't matter. It does not matter that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are in Kansas City. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Do you think it matters in the NBA?
Yes. I mean, the NFL can do whatever it wants, right? But I think in the NBA, no matter how good the talent has been, you've always had a star in L.A. New York has always had intriguing talent. You know what I mean? So having an Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, to Shai, I love it because you're proving that you can win outside of these big cities, these big markets. And I think these guys take a lot of pride in being able to do it. And the other thing about these teams, Matt, is these aren't teams that made gigantic trades that revolutionized their rosters. OKC's young. It's Orlando team, but Paolo Banchero, that's a bunch of guys they drafted. Boston has stars that they drafted. Minnesota, Anthony Edwards. So I think these are teams that have been built from the ground up, and that's refreshing to see as well.
It's one of the interesting things, you know, when LeBron won the title with the Heat, with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, there was this notion of, in the future, every title is going to be getting three dudes together and win it, right? And that really hasn't happened because just think about the group you mentioned. Shai Alexander, Anthony Edwards, Paolo Banchero, Luka, Giannis, Jokic,
Tatum.
All the teams that drafted him in every single instant. The only one that's an exception is Jalen Brunson. But pretty much everyone else was where they were drafted. You know, I actually think that's a good sign for the league. First of all, it means the draft is maybe more important in basketball than anything else. But to the extent you created these super teams in places like Phoenix and the Clippers, this year at least, even the Lakers, this year at least, Myron, that strategy has not worked.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, you've almost dismissed all of those super teams, right? The Warriors and how much older they are now. Phoenix can't figure it out with Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, the Lakers and the challenges they've had. It's almost like that was an era where that worked, but I think financially is why it's so much harder, too. You look at Phoenix, Matt. Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant are going to make combined $150 million-plus next season. That's more than 14 teams' entire payrolls right
but
now.
It's almost good, though, that they lost because I don't think that is sustainable for the league, Myron, because not everybody can do it. But what Oklahoma City and Minnesota have done, anyone can do in theory.
And I think that may be the new path, right? Go get a young star, keep them happy, build some talent around them, and that may be the new NBA. We're not even talking about Ja Morant, who's been hurt, but Memphis has done that as well. So I think this is a new era of teams saying, let's build from the ground up. Let's be patient with this young talent And then you end up in a situation where now you have some depth rather than trying to rely on two or three guys.
And you also have to hope that the guy pans out. I also think it's worth noting that at least in the case of Shea Alexander, he wasn't even a top 10 pick. Right? Like, that's a guy who went later. Anthony Edwards, of course, went number one. Paolo went number one. But the whole point of the lottery and the draft is that you get the bad teams good.
Yeah.
And it seems like if you pick the right guy and you're patient, in the NBA now, that can happen. Whereas a few years ago, you were worried in the era of the Heat that even if you did, you'd just become a farm team for other teams. That's not happening right now. So we will ask the Magic and the Cleveland. They're playing. Quentin Richardson, always an interesting interview. He'll preview the series with us. That's next here on Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
And we're headed to a game seven. Who wants to go to Cleveland? 103-96, the final score. Orlando, perfect in the playoffs in this building.
There was just a poise about them. They understood what the game plan was. They didn't try to chase it. They knew what we were trying to accomplish down the stretch. Guys made big plays. They trusted each other. They trusted the pass. They understood who had it going, and they didn't shy away from it.
Yeah, everything they've done is magic, and they have a chance to magically go to the second round. It's Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf. I knew you liked that, Myron. It's presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money. Make sure your family is well taken care of with life insurance. Protect your phones, laptops, and more with electronic device insurance. Wow. And cover your furry friends with pet health insurance, all with Progressive. We always have a good time with Quentin Richardson, former NBA player. He's the Orlando Magic TV studio analyst. So, Quentin, I'm going to do something that most hosts wouldn't do, but I believe in honesty. All right? I'm going to be honest with you, Quentin, and you have to answer this for me. I have not watched 1 second of this series. I don't get NBA TV, and I haven't been able to find it, and it hadn't seemed to be on the networks I watch. I am going to watch today. So for the lot of people listening that are like me, tell us what we've missed in games 1 through 6 and what we're going to see today in game 7.
I mean, y'all done missed a hell of a series. This is a 7-game series, and both of these teams have been, you know, been going all out, laying it on the line. And, you know, everybody knows that the best words in sports is game 7. We got one.
So what? But what have we missed? Like, who? I've seen Banchero's gone off, but what's been the?
Yeah, you missed Donovan Mitchell have a 50-point game. I mean, you watched a young Orlando Magic team who nobody expected to be here, and you know are ahead of schedule. You know, really arrive and show that they're here to compete.
Q, I've been watching. And I saw that 50 points.
It's because he doesn't go anywhere, Quinn. Nah, like, he's got to watch. Like, he's just sitting at home and he's doing
it. Nah, I was watching. Nah, I'm just a basketball nut. I do think about Paul Bancaro, and everybody knew him coming out of college and thought, okay, positionless basketball. Yeah, positionless basketball, he fits that mold. But this feels like he's taking his game to another level. You've been around the NBA for a long time, played for a long time. What's Paolo Bancaro's ceiling, in your opinion?
That's a superstar. That's a superstar. He does all, and I mean, he's gonna be one of the good superstars that you're gonna love, because the kid, you've not heard anything about him outside of basketball. He lives it, he breathes it, he wants to be better, he tries to, you know, he soaks up games from the Kevin Durants and the guys that he's looked up to. I mean, he's one of those guys that, like, from day one, he's going to be a superstar for whatever organization and whatever team. Hopefully it's the Magic for the rest of his career, but wherever he is, he's going to be a superstar forever.
It feels like to me, we're talking to Quentin Richardson, Orlando Magic TV studio analyst. It feels like to me the Magic, maybe in my mind, we're like 1 year ahead of schedule. I kind of thought we might see something like this next year. But because of Paolo and just in general, them being able to sort of shift it into a higher gear, now they've arrived, have a chance to get to play Boston. Did you feel that way, or did you see that coming this year?
No, being honest, I definitely saw us improving and felt like we were going to make a jump and be a better team. But to be, you know, at one point a 3 seed and to finish what we finished in this position in the playoffs and to do all the things and the steps that the players are taking. I mean, you talk about Paolo, but Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, Mo Wagner, Jonathan Isaac coming back, getting healthy. You know, these guys have had a tremendous year. And like you said, being as young as they are, you know, Coach Mosley did an unbelievable job. He was my coach of the year. I know he finished second, and you know, OKC's coach was very deserving as well. But I thought Coach Mosley could have been coach of the year. And just everything they've done, man, the city has embraced this team. I feel like they won the heart of the city, and you see that when we have home games, how they've had some of the biggest crowds in the team's history. You know, not from just when Shaq and them played, from Dwight Howard days and everybody else. This team has had some of the biggest crowds in the history. So I think, you know, they resonate with the city, and that means something. And this team has the city behind them, and they plan. Like you say, they could be a year ahead of schedule or whatever, but they're not playing like it. They're playing like they're ready to get busy right now.
I think a lot of people see this series and go, okay, you got to play the Boston Celtics in the next round. You're going to have a hard time. You know, between Cleveland and Orlando, which team is built to compete with the Boston Celtics in that next series?
I mean, right now you see Porzingis isn't really readily available. So, I mean, I think whoever plays them, they're going to, you know, they have a better chance than they normally would in the earlier games. I don't know how long it's going to take him to be back. But I think both of these teams bring, you know, obviously, no matter who you play, this is the playoffs. So you can't take anybody for granted, especially when you're not fully healthy. But, I mean, obviously, Donovan Mitchell, he's a force. He can go for 50, 60, 70 points any game. And when you get a guy that gets hot like he's capable, that team is, you know, whatever team a player has that has a player like that, they have a chance to win. I mean, same thing when you look at Orlando. The thing that I love about the Magic this whole year, it rang true throughout this playoff series, is that obviously Paolo is the superstar, the super stud, and then Franz is right there with him. But, I mean, you never know who it is. They don't play as a team like, okay, Franz has to score this many points, or Paolo. Like, no, they play off what's happening in the game, and they all are okay with each other. I think that's one of the biggest things that's helped them be the type of unit that they are, that they play so selfless with each other, and they all cheer and want to see the other person succeed, and it's genuine. And when you watch it game after game, night after night, and you listen to them in the post games, and you see what they've done and the things they say, everything adds up.
I've been really surprised, Quentin, at the Wagner brothers. I mean, how much better they are. I thought they could be decent pros. I mean, Myron and I are both big college guys, but they've both been better, especially Franz, than I would have thought. And then Jalen Suggs, who the start of his career was maybe a little bit rockier than we thought coming out of Gonzaga, he seems to have found another level. What do you attribute these dudes who had college success, who maybe have hit a level in the pros that we didn't necessarily see right coming out of college?
I think that's just, you know, continuing the work. I mean, people don't understand the NBA is hard, man. You got to make adjustments. You go from the college to college place where you basically the man. And when you come to the NBA, you got to learn how to not be a man and still be a star in that role. And it's not as easy or as seamless for everybody as it is for some. And I think you see that. I think Suggs was a great example of his first year. He had to figure out how do I play here? How do I fit in? What do I do? What do I bring? And I think after that first year, I felt like he figured it out kind of close to the second half when he went through an injury and he got to sit out and see some things. I felt like he was improving from that point. But he came back that next year, and he's been, you know, it's like he figured out what he needed to do. And the Wagner brothers, I mean, Mo, man, listen, I love the Wagner brothers. Mo in particular, because he's the guy that, if you're in the NBA, you know, this is not the guy that you want to come in and not feel like playing against. Or like, oh, I'm going to take it light today. He's not going loud. He is your worst nightmare. I don't care who it is. He's not afraid to get prickly with you. And
every team needs that, don't they, Quentin? Like, you got to have a dude like that.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, ask any NBA player, they love to play with those guys, except when we got to practice against each other. And then you hate to play against them. just period. I'm telling you, it's a fact. We've all had those teammates and those guys, and it's like you coming into a practice that morning, you tired, you didn't had a long stretch of games or whatever, and then you look over there and you got to go against Mo Vaught, and you're just like, oh, man, here we go. And that's literally the feeling that certain guys get in games against him.
Quentin, I'm in Minneapolis, and, you know, you're hearing a lot of Michael Jordan, Anthony Edwards comparisons because of the way that he plays. Obviously, carrying the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. Does he have a chance to become the face of this league and one of the two or three best players in the NBA after this next generation of LeBron and KD move on?
I think absolutely. I mean, every the reason he's in those types of conversations is because he's taking the steps to do that. And I mean, he's not doing anything to slow him down. You know what I'm saying? He's putting more fuel into that fire with the way he's going out here and playing. I mean, you gotta love it, man. Young guy is that young, that emerged this quickly, and he's doing it the right way. He's not shortcutting. He played both ends of the floor. His teammates love him. I mean, he checked all the boxes for me. I pay attention a lot to what that player's teammates and what the people around him think of him. And everybody thinks highly of him. They love him as a teammate, and they love what he's doing, and they support him. And every time you see one of those guys talking, they pump him up to be the face of the league and this and that. So that lets me know that he has the support of his guys, and that's very important when you have your teammates and your coaches and the people around you that feel very good about you and are happy and supporting you. That means a lot.
Let me finish with this, Quentin. You're a former player. I feel like you always say how it is. So let me ask you this. We don't know what the future is with LeBron with the Lakers, but there has been talk that, like, all right, if you're an NBA franchise, you pick Bronny, you might get LeBron, and that's how he'll finish his career in that context. You have a draft pick. Let's say it's into the first round or in the second round. Are you taking that package to pick Bronny to get a couple years of LeBron before he hangs it up?
The only way that would be a guaranteed thing is if I had that guarantee from LeBron, and that's what you know, that my team and the, you know, everybody around, you know, said this is what we want to do. But I would definitely have to have that guarantee from LeBron before I just pick his son based and think that it's going to happen. I would need that. I would need at least a verbal guarantee or something.
You need him to look you in the eye and say, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I mean, if you know how this is, it's not a one-person decision. So as far as, like, if the organization and everybody on board for that, yeah, I would do that if we made that joint decision. But me personally, if it was my decision, I wouldn't, because, I mean, unless I'm just trying to, you know, put LeBron in a place where he could elevate our team to, you know, as far as popularity and things like that, because LeBron has shown just him coming by himself is not going to be enough to get you a championship no more at this point in his career.
There you go. Quentin Richardson, enjoy Game 7. It's always fun. You have convinced me to tune in after I missed the first six. Quentin Richardson did
it.
So,
man, it's Game 7.
Yeah, I know.
I've been telling him.
Give him a raise, because he's got me to tune in today. Quentin Richardson, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Appreciate y'all, fellas. Anytime.
There we go. I like that. It's interesting. What are you laughing at?
Because you will have a guest on. You'll be like, listen, I got no idea why you're here.
That's not what I said. I knew why he was here. He's a great guest. I said I hadn't watched any of the games. Well, you want me to act like I have? You want me to go, I really enjoyed the defensive adjustments like, Cleveland made. I'm just being honest.
You'd be like, tell me why you're here again.
Stop it. I didn't need to do that. He's good. I was just saying I hadn't watched the games, Myron. What's wrong with you? All right, well, the Knicks and the Pacers.
It was just funny to me.
I did watch a lot of the Knicks games, and I watched some of the Pacers games, so I'm ready for that one. So we'll talk about it. Try to get Myron to stop being a jerk right at next here on Sunday morning on ESPN.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
What is this?
I don't know.
Oh, that's
great. Terrible.
That is horrible. Is this from like 1987, Mikey?
What is this from?
1999, close.
Who's singing it?
99?
Not sure who's singing. This is the Knicks.
It sounds like it's from 1984.
Yeah. This sounds like when they first started doing hip-hop
when they were beatboxing and stuff.
That's like, exactly. Sunday morning here on the ESPN
My name
radio.
Is Frank. I'm here to sing. That's how it sounds.
That was good, Byron. That was nice. Presented by Progressive Insurance. So I enjoyed the Knicks and the 76ers. It was great watching the Tyrese Maxey game. And then the Knicks come back and win Game 6. And now it's time against the Indiana Pacers, a series that has a lot of history, going back in the 90s, some great moments. But I also want to note that here at ESPN, we are, I would say, Myron, Knick heavy. Wouldn't you say, with the Stephen A., and it's just, it's a Knick heavy institution, right?
Yeah, yes. That's a light way of saying it. Yeah, people,
yeah, I mean, there's people a lot
into
of
the Knicks. I mean, you got Stephen A., a lot of other folks, yeah, who are
there's
really
a lot
into
of people. A lot of people, for people who don't know, everybody that works at ESPN went to Syracuse or and is a Knicks fan. Like, that's just kind of how it is. So there's a lot of Knicks. And sometimes people get out of control. So Chris Carlin from Carlin versus Joe. I'm a big fan of his. Very talented radios. Yeah. But he has an example of what I would say people getting a little out of control about the Knicks after the last series.
Last night was the first time that I ever came to the conclusion that the Knicks could actually beat the Celtics.
Oh.
And here's why.
So this is the big revelation from last night?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to me that I haven't been fairer about this for a while. And what I mean by that is this. That game plan last night, as tight as the game was, I just thought was fantastic with how they handled Tyrese Maxey. I mean, they made it impossible for him to get in any kind of a flow. And as much as I'm talking yesterday about how it had to be a bounce back game for Embiid and all that, I looked at that and I saw that it was clear early that Maxey was going to have to be the difference, and they were just not giving him any room. And the tenacity with which they play, I mean, I think it was on full display in every single way last night, and maybe I hadn't given it enough credit.
Now, that's, of course, insanity to say that when and I love Tyrese Maxey, former Kentucky Wildcat, but to say that, like, having one game where they slowed him down means they can beat Tatum, Brown, Derek White, et cetera, and Jrue Holiday. It's insanity, but the Knicks fans are believing things like that, Myron, and it is cute, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, and Carl is great, man, but he does sound a little bit like the high school football coach who's getting ready to face the undefeated team, you know, in the playoff semifinals. You know, they've been beating everybody 38-0. So you got to say something, I guess, to get your team excited. But Boston, let's be clear, man. Boston won the Eastern Conference by 14 games.
Yes.
Okay, in the Western Conference, you had three teams, Denver, Minnesota, OKC, go into the last day of the regular season tied in terms of their records. Boston won by 14 games. No one was close in the Eastern Conference. Now, you tell me if Porzingis is hurt, could it be a more difficult series? Sure, although he's expected to be back in time for the Eastern Conference Finals. But Boston has been untouchable in the Eastern Conference. So I don't know why suddenly that would change when they play a Knicks team that, if you told me Julius Randle was healthy, maybe, or they were 100%, but there's just no way that they can beat Boston, because I don't know if anyone can beat Boston.
I mean, I understand. First of all, I love how excited the Knicks fans get. The Knicks fans have become, which is odd for a group of
New Yorkers. Word for it.
No, but they've become almost like a college.
It's delusion.
But it's almost like a college fan base, right? Like, which is crazy for New York City. But they're dancing outside the arena. Like, they're going on other teams' message boards and talking trash, right? Like, they become like all Alabama football fans, and I think that's cute. But at the same time,
without the titles,
exactly, they don't have the titles, and it leads them to say crazy stuff. You know what I mean? It's like Alabama fans who go, "Will we be even better without Saban?" And you're like, "What?" And the Knicks fans do the same thing. Actually, we're better suited to the playoffs without Julius Randle. It's like, all right, you take a deep breath. I think the Pacers series is going to be tight. They have no chance against the Celtics, but I don't know that they should look past Indiana, who they're playing next.
No, they shouldn't look past Indiana. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton and what he has around him. I mean, the Bucks weren't full strength, no Giannis, but I think they just showed how deep they are. And that's a young team, Matt, that runs the floor every possession. They got a lot of energy. That's not going to be an easy series. I mean, my thing about the Knicks' confidence is you beat the Sixers, but let's also be honest about who you beat. You beat Tyrese Maxey and 68% Joel Embiid. Right? I mean, Embiid obviously had some big games, but that wasn't the full Embiid because of all the injuries and the way that they piled up. You had guys on that team, Tobias Harris, who I think he was in Miami that entire series
Yeah, so, didn't show up.
So, you know, Boston is a whole different task. And I think Indiana has to be feeling disrespected that you got Knicks people who are like, oh, can't wait till we play Boston, when they're standing right there. And they have a chance to win this series in advance to play Boston.
And they have a dude in Tyrese Halliburton. So this is my question for you. Is there any person in the NBA who's a superstar who is less well-known than Tyrese Haliburton? Like, if Tyrese Haliburton walked down the streets of any American city, do you think anyone would recognize him?
Maybe not. I mean, I know. I mean, I think sports people know him, but not like the casual.
Well, but even like Banchero, he played at Duke, right? So there's people that know him from that. I mean, Haliburton was at Iowa State. Most people wouldn't have watched an Iowa State game. I mean, unless you were like out working on your crops and it was being played in the field.
Okay, that, you don't have to say that. Like, you ain't got to say that. You don't have to do that.
I'm just saying. You don't have to do Ames, that. What am I doing? I'm just saying. Like, nobody's watching Iowa State basketball games.
You're working on your crops, though. Come on. Come on, man. Let them. What? The good people at Ames deserve better, man.
I got
come
no
on,
problem
man.
With crops. I'm pro crop. I'm just saying to you. This is a series against the Knicks where I think America realizes how good Tyrese Haliburton is.
I think they will. And let me just say, Jalen Brunson is great, and what we're seeing is amazing. This is not Magic Johnson, though. So, I mean, everyone's got to come down a level in terms of how they're describing Jalen Brunson, who is incredible, all-star, maybe superstar. But this isn't like a generational talent, at least yet. So let's all just come down a little bit, Knicks fans, and get back to reality and see if you can beat this Pacers team.
You don't like it when I say something about Indianapolis or Iowa. Like, any place with an I.
Well, no,
you just get really.
No, it's not that. I just.
It's everything about being with an I. And hey, we're going to do the Cavs side of things. We talked about Orlando. What about the Cavs? And Myron takes up for the Midwest next on Sunday morning.
Thanks for listening to Matt and Myron, the podcast. You can listen to the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. Matt and Myron, the podcast.